I have to tell you that every once in a while, as a pastor, you come across a passage of Scripture that you really don't understand. So instead of telling you what I think this morning, I'm going to tell you what a lot of people think, and then let you decide what is right. So let me read to you just these four verses. In Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 32 to 35. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Father, as we turn our attention to this passage, it's difficult. We just ask that you will help us understand its truth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. What is absolutes in life? We've probably all heard the saying, the only thing you know for sure is death and taxes. Well, what else do we know for certain? Well, we know that the Lions will figure out a way to mess things up, because we have lived long enough to see it happen. We know that art is subjective. Some people can look at something and think, wow, that's stunning and beautiful. And others can look at it and go, I don't get it. I think I could do better. We know that the sun rises in the east, or at least that's what we always say, even though we know that the sun doesn't move, that the earth is rotating, and as a result of the rotation of the earth, it appears that the sun is coming up, when in fact the sun is perfectly still. But we know that the earth rotates and the sun comes up in the east. We also know that marriages fail. We know that children will make terrible decisions, and some of them will cost them fingers or toes and other ideas. We know that summer always follows spring. And we know lots of things that are certainties in life. We are confident in all of those. So when we think of absolutes, we know lots of them. There's lots of life that is absolute. What we're going to look at this morning is another absolute. But it's an absolute that is, I think, difficult to understand. And the reason I say that is, in my study for the sermon, I read the text, and then I read the text, and then I read the text. And so I spend a lot of time just reading through the text. I don't open other books. I don't open up internet. I don't Google anything. I just read the text multiple times. And then I take the text and I begin to try to figure out how all the pieces fit. Then I go to my commentaries, my books, and I begin to open all those books and I begin to read what all these other people who are way smarter than me think the text says. Out of that, I usually can formulate a very clear and a very direct passageway from what the text says to what the text means. And then I take what the text means and I try to make application to it on how it fits into our lifestyle. This text has caused me lots of consternation. So read the text, read the text, read the text. I think I understand the text. I open up my commentaries and begin to read all the commentaries. And I have, I think there's 9 of them that I'm looking at. And when I read through them, of the 9, I think there's like 8 different ideas on the text. So when you read them, you come to a conclusion that maybe they don't know what they're talking about either. Because some of them will stop and they'll say, this is all the possibilities. And then at the end, they'll say, I think this one might be right. So that's kind of where we're at this morning. So usually I could stand up here and I could preach pretty confidently about what the text means. This morning, not so much. But I think at the end, there'll be things that we'll discover, and I hope at the very end, there'll be things that we'll understand. So, the first thing we want to look at, maybe not. There we go. And I want to highlight some key terms. So the first one is the fig tree. So it says, now learn the parable from the fig tree. And if you didn't know, you're not going to work today. Okay. Mike, back up a couple slides. There. That's a fig tree. Bump and I both made the comment this morning when we saw the fig tree. That's the biggest fig tree we've ever seen. I Googled fig trees, and there was hundreds of images of fig trees. But this was one of them. And I'm thinking, I've never seen a fig tree that big. But that's a fig tree. Fig trees, apple trees, orange trees, they grow figs. Okay, Mike, thanks. So learn the parable of the fig tree. So what's the fig tree? What's the parable? Well, the parable of the fig tree. So the fig tree was often used by Old Testament prophets as a symbol of Israel. It's used lots of them, lots of the Old Testament prophets. So somebody came up with the idea that the parable of the fig tree is reference to the fact that this fig tree, that its branches, when it becomes tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So the idea is the sugar begins to run through, the limbs get more pliable, and as a result of that, they begin to produce the leaves, and ultimately they begin to produce the fruit. The idea is when we see that, we know that summer is near. And we understand that. I mean, we all know that come May 1st, we begin to look around and suddenly the leaves, the trees change, the leaves start popping. And what we know at that moment is winter is, well, in northern Michigan, winter is maybe over. It's getting closer to the end. But we know that there are warmer days coming. We all become weathermen at that point. Because we know when the trees come out and the leaves come out, we know that summer is on its way. So this isn't some genius idea. It's just the idea that all of us recognize. So when the fig tree begins to look like it's going to produce leaves, then we know that summer is coming. And we know that the summer is the idea of something significant. So here's one of the ideas that came out of this. Is this a picture of 1948? Is Jesus giving a picture of 1948? What happened in 1948? Israel became a nation again. So is this the picture of the beginning of the end? There were some that argue that this whole picture, they didn't know it was 1948, but the whole picture is that this is the idea that the end times are coming as a result of 1948. It's a sign of the end times. And they'll take this whole passage and they'll say, as a result of 1948, that generation will not pass away. How long is a generation? We'll come back to that in a second. Some argue that the fig tree that Jesus is talking about here has nothing to do with Israel. It's not a symbol of Israel at all. It's simply Christ making a statement that when the fig tree begins to produce its leaves and we know that summer is coming, we know that this is the beginning and sign of the end times. And then he says this. So you too, Mike, advance the slide, please. All these things. And so you too, when you see all these things, what are all these things? Well, if you go back and you read the rest of the chapter 24, or up to this verse in chapter 24 that we've looked at over the last few weeks, it's been the abomination of desolation. It's been a picture of the tribulation. It's been a picture of Jesus. Remember, Jesus made the comment as they were leaving the temple. Someday, this temple, not one stone will be upon another stone. Is Jesus talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple? What are all these things? Is it all of those things? Is it one of those things? Next slide, please. Recognize that he is near. The word actually is the word it. It's not the word he. It's the word he because interpreters in the context of the passage thought he was a better way of understanding the word than it. Recognize that he or it is near. What's the it? Is it the return of Christ? Or is it the destruction of Jerusalem? So when the fig tree begins to show that summer is near, then you should know that all of these things that we've just talked about are near. They're right at the door. They're ready to take place. Is that the destruction of Jerusalem? Is that the tribulation? Is it the rapture? Is it the end times? Next slide, please. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass until all these things take place. What generation is Jesus talking about? Well, if you hold to the idea that all of this is about the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, then the generation that Jesus is talking about is clearly the generation that Jesus was talking to. That the people who were alive at that moment, he must be instructing all of them. So if we hold to the concept that this entire passage of Scripture, meaning that almost all of chapter 24 is only referring to the destruction of Jerusalem, then you've put this into place. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that it, the destruction of Jerusalem, is near. It's right at the door. And I'm going to tell you, nobody that's alive today will pass away before you see the destruction of Jerusalem. That's one way of interpreting this paragraph. But if you interpret this paragraph that way, then you have to interpret all of chapter 24, the abomination of desolation, and all of those things that we've looked at over the last several weeks, that has to deal with the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. When clearly I think there are pieces of the passage in Matthew 24 that refer to something far different than the destruction of Jerusalem, I think it is a picture into the end of time. So if you're going to interpret the chapter 24 with the idea of the abomination of desolation being the end time, the tribulation, the coming of the Antichrist, then you have to interpret this in the same way. So here's the meaning. It's a parable. The fig tree is a picture of something completely unlike Israel. The something else must be what follows. It's the coming of Christ. It's not the destruction of Jerusalem. So if that's the case, then what does generation mean? Is Jesus telling them something that's going to be? But it's not put in a future sense. It's put in a present sense, like it's going to happen. Is he talking about the coming of Christ or the destruction of Jerusalem? Is the fig tree Israel or is the fig tree not Israel? And remember, at the beginning of all of this, what was the statement that Jesus made? These signs are the beginning of birth pangs. It's the beginning of delivery. It is not the end of delivery. All these things from verses 4 to 28, is it the beginning of the end that leads to the tribulation? Is this what happens as a result of the rapture? Is the return of Christ, the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great glory and power? Is the generation one present, this one present generation that will see the destruction of Jerusalem? The word generation actually could be interpreted as the word race. Is it referring to, truly I say to you, this race, the Jewish people, will not pass away until all these things take place. Other nationalities will pass away. The Jews won't. How many of you know any Amalekites? Jebusites? Philistines? Know any of them? Anybody know any Jews? Does it mean race of people? Does it mean that this generation will not pass being, if indeed you interpret the fig tree and the summer as the rebirth of the nation of Israel in 1948, does it mean that generation, the people who saw that take place, will not pass away until all of these things, all of the things that lead up to the tribulation, that generation will not pass away? And then the question becomes, how long is a generation? Some of you were alive in 1948. A lot of us in this room were not alive in 1948. Is the generation that exists at the beginning of the tribulation? So when the rapture occurs, that generation will not pass away until all of these things in verses 4 through 28 take place? Now, do you see why it was a little confusing? I hope I have confused you, because misery loves company. So what do I actually think maybe is being said in the passage? Here are the absolutes. Christ is coming. No one knows when. I am convinced that all the signs that are necessary for the return of Christ, all of those signs have been fulfilled. The generation is the one that will see the beginning of the end. I believe it's a generation that will exist during the time of the tribulation. And then he ends with this verse. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Even though all things around us will fail. Again, if you go back and you read through verses 4 to 28. Look at all the things that take place. The sun darkens, the moon doesn't give its light, the stars fall from the sky. All the other earthly or heavenly things will begin to be destroyed. We talked about, does that mean gravity, natural laws, they begin to be diminished? If you read in Daniel and Revelation, you discover that during the tribulation, lots of horrible things take place. Fresh water, crops, lives are all diminished or destroyed. People hide in caves. People hide in rocks. People cry out for mountains to fall on them, and they do not. Heaven and earth will pass away. It clearly doesn't mean the eternal heaven. I think it's the heavens. The world in which we live in. What we understand as life today will cease to be. But his words will not pass away. And what are his words? If I go, I prepare a place for you. And if I go, I will come again. What do I know for sure? What are the absolutes? Death? Nope. It's not an absolute. Not everybody in this room will die. We might, but we might not. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, those who are alive will be caught up together with those who have been raised to life to meet Christ in the air. That means some of us won't die. Taxes? I know people who don't pay taxes. The IRS come and get them? Nope. Now, you may argue that they pay taxes when they go to the grocery store, or the gas station, or true. But there's people who live all across the world that don't pay any taxes. There's lots of places in the world nobody pays any taxes. So, are taxes absolute? Will the lions figure out a way to ruin it? Okay, that might be an absolute. But in the sermon part goes, we all hold out a little hope that they'll figure out a way. That someday the city of Detroit will burn to the ground because we've won the Super Bowl. We all hope that. So it's not an absolute that the Lions could figure out a way. Do all marriages fail? Do kids all make crazy decisions? So there's a lot of things that we would argue are absolutes, when in fact, they're really not. So what is an absolute? What is something that is as real as if it has already happened? What is it that if you could bet on something and it be a sure deal, if you knew you were going to win, what would you put your money on? He is coming. That I know. It is an absolute. Christ is coming again. I also know that after his coming, there will be a 7-year period of tribulation, that God will begin to pour out his wrath and his judgment upon the people of the earth who have rejected him. I know that when Jesus proclaims that he is coming, he will come and he will return at the end of the tribulation and he will establish his throne upon the earth for 1,000 years. I know this to be true. I know. It's an absolute. So in this passage of scripture that we're looking at this morning, what do I know? Now learn the parable of the fig tree. I know when its branches become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things. When I begin to see the destruction of civilization, when I begin to see all of the things that verses 4 to 28 describe, when I begin to see all of the loss and the destruction of mankind, I know that he is near. He's right at the door. And I know that when he comes, that generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Here's what else I know. I know that if you are not born again, heaven is not your home. I know that if you are born again, heaven will always be your home. That's not my decision. That's not my argument. That's God's statement. My children know my voice. My sheep know my voice. When I call them, they come. I hold them in the palm of my hand. No one can pluck them from my Father's hand. If I drink of the water that he offers me, I will never thirst again. The scriptures are filled with all kinds of analogies and pictures of what it means to be born again, to be a child of God. And if I am a child of God, if indeed I have accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, and that I have a home being prepared for me, and one day Jesus will come, He will collect me and take me, and I will live forever in His presence. I am sure of that. It is an absolute. I also know that Jesus will come and He will say to you, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." He will separate the sheep from the goats. And He will dismiss the goats to an eternity separated from the presence of God forever and ever. I know this. Be true. This is an absolute. I know that as I read through chapter 24 and chapter 25 of the book of Matthew, it is a warning. It's a simple warning. Profound warning, but simple in its meaning. And the meaning is very clear. I am coming. Are you ready? And will you join me in eternity, or will you be separated from me for eternity? I read this passage 50 times, studied it, looked at it. I don't really understand all of what it means. I know this. Heaven and earth will pass away. All of those who belong to Him will dwell forever in His presence. Are you one of them? Father, I thank You for difficult passages. They force us to study, to wrestle, to learn. Maybe at the end what we learn the most is what we knew at the beginning. You are coming. Are we ready? In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand as we close.